let's jump right into this because I have limited time and I want to create maximum time to pray with people. So we're going to just be all over the place in Scripture. We're going to start off in John 14, 12. A lot of the Scriptures are going to be on the screen, but some of them won't. Also, like, I'm reading directly out of the app, so if you want to follow along in the app or you have your physical Bibles, we're going to start off in John 14, 12. So these are the words of Jesus. What I'm about to tell you is true. So Jesus says what he's about to say is true, so we should pay attention. Anyone, everybody say anyone. Anyone who believes in me. How many believers do we have in Jesus here tonight? Awesome. So he's talking to us. Anyone who believes in me will do the works I have been doing. In this context, in John 14, it's where he is talking about, I say what my Father tells me to say, and I do the works. And he says, if you don't believe the words, believe the works. So he's talking about supernatural works that the Father is doing in Jesus. So this is not talking about anyone who believes in me will do the works I've been doing, meaning, oh, he showed grace, he showed mercy, he showed compassion. Yes, all of that stuff is true. But this is specifically in context talking about supernatural signs, miracles, and wonders. Anyone who believes in Jesus will do the works I have been doing. And he doesn't stop there. In fact, they will do even greater things. That's because I'm going to the Father. Now, this verse gets quoted a lot with, like, if we believe in Jesus, we can do all these works. And that's the faith that we're going to be in tonight when we pray for people. People will say all the time, well, I don't know if it's God's will to heal. God has to move sovereignly through people. This says anyone who believes in me will do the works. We create all these other doctrines and all these other ideas that you actually cannot find in Scripture for the new covenant believer, yet we got all kinds of commands from Jesus on what we're supposed to be doing, and because we blame it on the circumstances aren't right, maybe the timing wasn't right, God wasn't sovereignly moving, all of this stuff that we say is not in Scripture. Jesus didn't answer one time, well, you know, it's not my Father's will. The timing's not right. Do you know that Jesus actually had to pray twice one time? The Son of God didn't get it done on the first time. And some of you are like, man, that sounds blasphemous. Anybody ever heard the story of the man who was blind? It says that Jesus laid his hands on him and took his hands off, and he says, what do you see? And the man said, I see people like trees, which means he got some of his sight back, but it was unclear. And it says that Jesus prayed again. And you know what? We pray one time and it doesn't happen. We're like, well, maybe the timing wasn't right. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Maybe this, maybe this. And circumstance and circumstance and circumstance. Yet Jesus prayed and he's like, what do you see? Right? Test it out. That's one of the things we're going to do tonight. When you pray for somebody, you know, if it's something that you can't check right in your body right away, like maybe you've been diagnosed with something, but it's not something physical you would tell left, you know, you might have to go back to the doctor and find out. Like, I get that. But if it's something physical, check it out. And if it's like, you know what? Nothing happened. You know what? Speak to the mountain again. If Jesus can pray twice, if Jesus can speak twice, then that's good enough for me to know that I could do it multiple times. And Jesus didn't take no for an answer. He didn't pray and go, well, I see men like trees. Well, I don't know why my Father did a partial healing, but, you know, go and be blessed. No, he prayed again. Now, this talks about here, it says, we will do greater things. Why is that? This part is very rarely talked about. That's because I am going to the Father. What is he saying? I'm doing all of these things. I'm teaching you how to do all of these things. I'm leaving one day. You need to get it done. We talked about it with the demon-possessed boy when the apostles could not drive the demon out. They could not heal the boy. And Jesus didn't go, oh, that's okay, guys. You got a bunch of other ones, right? Well, you know what, guys? You didn't know this, but I just heard from my dad in heaven. Like, it wasn't that kid's time. No, it says, you faithless, perverse generation, how much longer do I need to stay here and be with you? Bring the boy to me. And Jesus healed the boy. So the fact that Jesus healed the boy told me in my peanut-sized brain that it's God's will to heal, because he didn't look at them and go, well, you know what? God wasn't going to do it through you. He's actually going to do it through me. He rebuked them. Why would Jesus rebuke them if it wasn't possible for the boy to be healed? You ever thought about that? Jesus would be out of order to do that. So it was always God's will to heal the boy, but the disciples come to Jesus later and said, why could we not drive out the demon? And he says, because of your little faith. But you know what? You know why we don't talk about that stuff? Because it's offensive. And it's like, ooh, what are you saying? I don't have enough faith? And I'm like, oh my goodness, why isn't it the other way around? You presume that you have enough faith? Why don't we ever just like humble ourselves like the father of the demon-possessed boy, and he says, Lord, I believe. Then what did he say after that? Help my unbelief. That was humility. So this says, you're going to be able to do these things and greater things because I'm going to the Father. Well, what happened when he went to the Father very shortly after that? What came down? The Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do ministry. Jesus says, not apostles, not super Christians, not the elite. Anyone who believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. In fact, they will do greater works. Why greater works? Because Jesus can only be in one place at one time. Then he gives the power to the 12, and they can only be in certain places at certain times. Then he gives the power to the 70, and they can only be in certain places at certain times. But now, if the church receives the Spirit and believes that we can walk in the things that Jesus did, we are everywhere. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. And he says, because I am going to the Father. How many of you understand we're supposed to follow Jesus? That means, if you understand that as a Hebrew, discipleship, say what I say, do what I do. Let's go on. This is right after Jesus curses the fig tree. He goes in, flips the tables of the money changers because they're ripping people off. They come back out, and Jesus is like, Peter is like, Jesus, look, the fig tree you cursed, it's dead. And this is Jesus' response. Have faith in God, Jesus said. What I'm about to tell you is true. So he's going to tell us another true thing. Suppose someone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea. They must not doubt in their heart. They must believe what they say will happen. Then it will be done for them. So here's the thing. We're all about honesty in this church, right? Like, you want to hear the truth, whether it's offensive or not, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Like, maybe I'll hold back. If you're going to pray for someone tonight to be healed and you don't think it's going to happen, don't pray. This says, you say the words, and then it says they must not doubt in their heart. This isn't a way to get you to be scared, but I mean, how many times if somebody's like, hey, brother, pray for me. Hey, sister, pray for me. And you're like, okay. And then, like, they tell you what the situation is, and you're like, man, this is a huge thing. I don't know that I'm the right person. Don't even do it, because you're already in doubt. And guess what? It really has nothing to do with you. It has to do with who Jesus is. So stop looking at yourself to figure out, am I going to pray the right words? The right words don't matter. It's the faith. It's the truth. And again, I know that there have been churches that have abused this. They go around chastising people. You didn't have enough faith. I've heard of instances of people giving birth and their child is dead, and people will say, well, why did this happen to me? And somebody's like, well, you probably didn't have enough faith. I mean, these are real things that are happening, and they're terrible and they're awful. But that doesn't mean that we pull back because people are faulty. We don't pull back from truth when it says something like this: you must not doubt in your heart, you must believe what you say will happen. So if you're speaking to the mountain, if somebody comes to you and they say, my arm hurts, I want the pain to go away, then you look at their arm and you say, pain leave in Jesus' name, and you expect that pain to leave. And if it doesn't leave, then you should be like, well, that's really weird. I expected it to leave, so we're going to speak to it again. Again, if Jesus prayed twice, it's good enough for me. And he's the Son of God, so I don't even mind speaking to the mountain like 6, 7, or 8 times. I've heard stories, I've seen it happen where people have gotten prayed for multiple times, and then for some reason, the 25th time it happened. I'm not going to dissect that. I'm not going to let my mind swirl about it. I can tell you I've watched the greatest faith teachers in the world. I've consumed hundreds of hours of it. And still, if people are honest, we haven't figured it out yet. Because why? It's not a formula. It's a person. If we could figure out the formula, now we're just using the right words and combining the right language and doing the right motions. And then God has to do it because we basically said the right incantation. Some people think, well, you've got to say the name, you've got to say the phrase in the name of Jesus. Did you know that in the name of Jesus simply means in his authority, cause, character, and reputation? So what does that mean? So when we pray in the name of Jesus, that means we're praying in his authority, his cause, his character, and his reputation. I'm not a healer, he's a healer, so I'm praying in his name. It's not something you have to put at the end of what you say in order for it to work. You know what? You shouldn't even have to use the phrase in the name of Jesus when you're in the church setting, because I don't think anybody in here doesn't believe that you're praying in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? I didn't tell you not to do it. If you're prompted to do it, do it. But I'm just saying the whole point of it is because the disciples were out in the streets. Nobody knew who Jesus was. They heard buzz about him. They're like, is he a prophet? Is he Elijah? Who is he? So when they are praying with people and people don't know who Jesus is, the apostles are praying in the name of Jesus. And we're going to see scripture on that that will make that even more clear. So we got it from that scripture, right? You're going to speak, you're going to believe in your heart. And guess what? When you watch Jesus heal, when you watch the apostles heal, they didn't pray to God for somebody to be healed. What did they do? Stand up in Jesus' name. Open your eyes in Jesus' name. Stretch forth your hand in Jesus' name. They were commands. They were speaking to mountains. Now, again, I know somebody's going to say, well, what about James chapter 5? We're not going to talk about James chapter 5 tonight. We preached on that another time. James says, is anybody in the church sick? Here's the instructions. Tonight, we are talking about speaking to the mountains and telling them to move. I don't know about you, but if I'm supposed to be following Jesus, when I saw how he healed sick people, that's what I should be doing. Literally, when you were a disciple and you followed around a rabbi, you did everything he did. And if you did it differently before, you don't do it that way anymore. If you had bread and soup, and you're used to eating your soup and then eating your bread after, but you notice the rabbi takes his bread, dips it in the soup, and eat it, that's how you do it from now on. It was that meticulous. And so we should be doing the same thing. And what did you think that the disciples were doing when they were watching Jesus? Oh, he just said this. He just spoke to the mountain. He just spoke to that leg. He said, eyes open. And also, Jesus was listening to the Spirit. Sometimes, one time, he took clay and rubbed it on the guy's eyes, and he said, go and wash. Well, why did he do that? Because I'm assuming the Holy Spirit told him to do that. So when you're speaking to the mountain, also listen of what the Lord is saying to you. Does this make sense? Okay, Matthew 28. This is what's known as the Great Commission, even though it's also recorded in the other Gospels. All authority, and also the book of Acts. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. These are the words of Jesus. Therefore, go and make converts. Isn't that interesting that that's, for many churches, what we try to do? Conversion is part of discipleship. It's not the end, but it is the beginning. Right? You have to get baptized. Right? You have to be forgiven of your sins. You need to be washed clean. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But then all of a sudden your mind just doesn't go, I know everything there is to know now. No, you have to renew it. That's how transformation happens. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And in the Greek, what does all mean? All, Greek scholars. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, one of the commands that he told the disciples to do was heal the sick. He told them lots of things. Cast out demons. And what did he say? Freely you have received, freely give. So all we're doing when we lay hands on people is we're just giving what has been given to us, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, and allowing God to use us like a tool. Like he's the lightning and we're the rod. He just flows through us. Teach them to observe all that I command you, and look, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, let's go on. Okay, you'll need your Bibles for this. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8. Oh, I guess I should switch to the NIRV. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4. One day Jesus was eating with them. He gave them a command. Do not leave Jerusalem. He said, wait for the gift my Father promised. What is he talking about? Holy Spirit. You have heard me talk about it. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, don't go make disciples. Don't go anywhere. Don't say anything. In fact, do nothing until you receive the promise of my Father, which is another thing that many churches are not understanding the correct order of things. I don't believe that the apostles' sins weren't forgiven, because how many of you know that it's the blood of Jesus that washes you white as snow? It's not the Holy Spirit that washes you white as snow. It's the blood of Jesus. But then after your sins have been forgiven and you have now been emptied, now you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I don't doubt that their sins weren't forgiven, but he says, you're not ready for ministry. And think about it. He's talking to, at this point, 11 people that have walked with him for 3.5 years. And he's saying, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you have received the Holy Spirit. And then the apostles gathered around Jesus and asked him a question. Lord, are you going to give the kingdom back to Israel now? It's hilarious to me, because I feel like I've done this in my own life. Like, we want certain answers for God, and we're like, why isn't he answering me? And it's like, maybe because he's telling us to do something and we're on the wrong subject matter. So he's trying to tell them, listen, you're going to get the Holy Spirit and you're going to do all these great things. And they're like, hey, when does Israel get the kingdom back? He said to them, you should not be concerned about times or dates. The Father has set them by his own authority. And then he reiterates again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will tell people about me in Jerusalem. So right there, it shows you that they were not supposed to do anything ministry related until they were filled, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you will tell people about me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. You will either even tell other people about me from one end of the earth to the other. So you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we want to do the things of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do. Did Jesus get water baptized? Yes. What happened after that? Holy Spirit. So he's not saying, and he's, right, he's God in the flesh. Yet, there was still a moment where the Spirit came and rested on him. And now, Jesus talks about, I will be in you, my Father will be in you. John 17 is a beautiful passage that talks about that we are one with each other. He's in us, we're in him, and it's all of this. This all happens by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit on the inside of us that does the works. Let's go on. Acts chapter 3, so two chapters over. How many of you have heard the story about the man who's at the gate called Beautiful, right? He's been lame forever. Everybody knows that he's lame. He's not lame like he's not cool. He can't walk. And then this, like I remember as a kid, there was like a song that you sang about silver and gold, have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. For some reason, all of our songs were in the old King James. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Again, they didn't pray for the guy. They just said, they're like, hey, can we have some money? Peter and John, and they're like, look at us. We don't have any money, but what we have, we're going to give to you. Well, what do they have? They have the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, which happens to also be what Jesus calls power. It's not an it, it's a he, but there is power attached to it. Jesus talked about all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. So what is he saying? If I'm in you and you are in me and I have all the authority, now you have the authority. But here's the thing. If you have authority but have no power, what's the point? If you have power but no authority to use it, what's the point? But Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. And then Jesus says to the apostles, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise from my Father. And then when they're like, is the kingdom going to be restored? And then he talks about how it is power that will be given to them. So in Jesus, they have authority, and the Holy Spirit, they have power. And it only works if you've got both. You have to have authority and you have to have power. So this is where the story picks up. So this is after the man got healed. They're questioning Peter and John. Whose name did you heal this person? There's all these questions. So let's read the story here real quick. I know I just paraphrased it, but I'm going to read it. So it says this, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter took him by the right hand and helped him up. At once, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. He went with Peter and John into the temple courtyards. He walked and jumped and praised God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit and beg at the temple gate called beautiful. They were filled with wonder. They were amazed at what happened to him. So again, it wasn't, oh, Father, we come before you today. We see that this man cannot walk. If it be your will you cause this man to walk? But if not, thy will be done. Why did they pray the way that they did? Maybe they've already figured out that when Jesus told them to do the things that he did, they're like, we're supposed to do that. Why would Jesus tell us to do the things that he did if it's not always his will for us to do it? Does that seem like a confusing message? Go and heal the sick. But you know what? Sometimes it does. It's not my Father's will. Go and heal the sick. But sometimes it only works partially. Go and heal the sick. Well, sometimes it's just not my Father's sovereign will. We have created these things. They're man-made doctrines. If somebody tells me that part of my job as a believer in Jesus is to heal the sick, the problem with human beings is we have to really analyze that. Is that really what he meant? Can we find other scriptures that might actually, you know, take apart what he actually meant? Instead of just going, if someone said, go heal sick people, I don't know how much more simple that could be. Maybe we don't see a lot of people healed all the time in the church is because we get analytical. Or we've grown up with doctrines that are doctrines of people that are stuck in our brains and we have to literally pull this stuff out. Instead of just going, if Jesus told us to heal sick people, then that's part of our mandate as a believer. Could you imagine if we analyzed other things that way? I don't know, Lord, am I supposed to love everybody? Because some people are just really unlovable. Did I hear you right? Love one another as I have loved you. I need to really think about that because that could be super confusing. And I could see some of the looks on your faces. You're like, of course we don't do that. Then why do we do it with healing? Why is it some things we need to overanalyze and other things we're just like, nope, Jesus said it. That's what we're supposed to do. Why does this not fit in the same category? And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, because I prayed for someone and they didn't get healed. Welcome to the club. Does that change the word of God? Does circumstances trump truth? No, but what have we done in the body of Christ? We have these circumstances. We couldn't possibly reconcile the idea of going, well, why don't we just pray again? Or you know what? Maybe I should fast and pray before I pray for this person again so that I make sure that, like, I'm just not in my flesh or things like that. Like, we never ever say to ourselves, hey, maybe there's something I could go before the Lord and ask him about. We just jump to conclusions like, well, if God was going to heal you, he would have done it through my prayer. That is so arrogant. All right, so this guy's healed, right? And everybody's like, this is the guy that's been begging for all of this time. This is a legit miracle. So much so, the Pharisees got to get involved. So they question him, and look at this phrase. I love how this reads in the NASB. So they're like, how was this man healed? And that's what we want to know, right? Like, how are people healed? How does this work? Jesus told us to do it. We're supposed to heal the sick in his name. How does this work? Look at Peter's answer. On the basis of faith in his name. What's his name? His authority? Yeah, you're right, Jesus. His authority, Jesus' authority, his cause, his character, his reputation. So how do we know that people should be healed? Because it's on the basis of faith in his authority, cause, character, and reputation. What is Peter saying? That Jesus' authority, cause, character, and reputation is to heal people. And yet this is debated in all kinds of denominations. Well, I don't know if it's always God's will to heal. Did Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Right? In fact, we're going to do a teaching about a month out that the Lord already gave me, and I pinned it, is talking about how many different places Jesus emphasizes that if you've seen me, you've seen God. What I'm doing is God's will. Jesus never refused healing to anyone. Not once. You can't find it in Scripture. I challenge you to. You're going to waste a lot of time because it's not there. I've looked, but go for it if you want to. He never refused healing to anyone who asked him. Why do we have a theology like that then? And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you've seen what I do, I'm the Father's will in action. But why do we do that? Well, you know, I've seen too many sick people die. I've seen people be sick that aren't, they don't get better. I've seen this. I've seen this. I've viewed this. You don't understand this happened in my life. I'm not denying the situations, but once again, I ask the question, when does the situation get to trump the word of God? When does the situation become so big, we must possibly not be understanding the scriptures correctly because this situation shouldn't have been this situation? What if, oh my goodness, we live in a fallen world? What, oh my goodness, what if sometimes we're double-minded? What if sometimes then we're in doubt? What if sometimes we're in unbelief? Do you know that's mentioned a lot in the Bible, but God's sovereign will to heal or not is not mentioned anywhere when people are like, well, if he would have healed, he would have done it. If it was his will, it should have happened. So we make up doctrine that's not in the Bible. But places all over that talks about double-mindedness, doubt, unbelief, all of these things, we just brush that aside. And every church thinks they're a Bible-believing Christian. Except this part I don't like. Except this part I don't agree with. Except this part I haven't really seen in my life, so I must be misinterpreting this. What if we just read the Bible and believed it? And didn't have to have pastors and teachers and seminary graduates tell us our theology. You know me. Don't believe anything I say if it's not from the Word. And challenge me on that because I don't want to be saying something that's not in the Bible. On the basis of faith in his name, I'm going to wrap this up because I want to give maximum time to pray. On the basis of faith in his authority, cause, character, and reputation, it is the authority, cause, character, and reputation of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. The faith which comes through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the sight of you all. Could it be any more clear? On the basis of faith in Jesus' authority, cause, character, and reputation. And what did people know about Jesus? He's that guy that heals people. He's that guy, he's like an exorcist. He just pulls demons out of people. He's that guy that when he touches leprosy, he doesn't get leprosy. The leprosy disappears. I don't think the buzz about Jesus was, he's that guy that prays for people and sometimes people get healed and sometimes not, and then he blames it on his dad. It's getting real in here. And it should be, because I don't know about your heart. I'm just going to tell you mine. My heart, and I know it's because it's Jesus' heart, wants to see every person healed. And we should expect that. All right, do I got another verse? Okay, last one, which was the first one. What I'm about to tell you is true. Anyone, that means everyone in this room, if you believe in Jesus, you will do the works that I've been doing. In fact, you will do greater things because I am going to the Father. Did Jesus go to the Father? Did he pour forth the Spirit? So we're supposed to be doing the things he did and greater. And we don't have to question if it's God's will, because God's will was in Jesus and he told us, heal the sick. Do you have enough biblical evidence to know that we're supposed to be doing this on a regular basis and expect people to be healed? So this is what we're going to do. We've got two more testimonies. They're going to be real quick. During that time, we're going to have three young ladies set up that are going to provide the background music, beautiful background music, inspired by the Holy Spirit, while we pray over people. So after these two testimonies, again, I already told the prayer ministers where you're going to line up on each side, and then one in the back. Right after the testimony, I'm not going to get back up. Right after the testimonies, the music's going to play. Pray for people. The service is not over. Listen, if you don't need prayer, then listen to God of what he's going to tell you. If you do need prayer, don't leave here tonight without it. And as insignificant it is, well, I have trouble sleeping, then get prayer for that. Well, you know, sometimes my eye twitches during the day. Get prayer that your eye will never twitch again. Nothing is too small for God, and certainly nothing is too big for God. If you've got something really wrong with you tonight and you get healed, don't worry. The lights in heaven aren't going to dim down and then come back up, right? Because the authority and the power has been given to us who will believe to use it.